KT Tunstall's career has happened rather quickly, first in England and now here in the States. Today we find out about how that happened and a bit about how she grew up and her work with the Fence Collective to develop her love of music for its own sake. Interestingly enough, neither of KT Tunstall's parents were musical, and there wasn't any music played in her house.
None. This is weird. I mean, it's really strange to me that I've ended up doing this. In some ways it is, in some ways it isn't. My parents met as rock climbers and were very active and travelled a lot and lived in different countries and when they were younger. And so every spare minute we had at home, we would be out and camping and up hills and being outdoorsy. And also, ironically, my younger brother is profoundly deaf. So we couldn't really have music on because it interfered with his hearing aid and him being able to understand us. So it was all about playing for me as a kid. I was just obsessed with playing instruments.
So there were pianos in the house, and there were things.
I asked for a piano when I was 6 or 7. My parents went, "Are you sure? This is a big instrument. You're not saying that you want to play the flute." And that came later.
Well, this is interesting because therefore you kind of, without hearing a lot of other things, if you start writing, you're going to develop your own thing without knowing what else is going on. But I understand your original songs were not ones that you won't be doing a retrospective of those songs.
No, I think my earliest songs, I started writing songs when I was about 15. I'd always loved writing poems and stories, and obviously always had this passion for playing instruments. And also I was into acting when I was younger. I was in a little local theatre group. So it was like this collision of the music and the writing. And the performance just came together when I started writing songs. And I think my early songs had more to do with Dynasty than they did with my real life.
Well, tell people about the Fence Collective. You ended up in Fife with working with the folks on the Fence Collective, and people here in the US may not know about them.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad you ask. Because even in the UK, it's still a bit of a secret gem, really, the Fence Collective. But I met them when I was about 17, 16. And Kenny Anderson, who goes by the name of King Creosote. Basically, there's about 20 of them, 20, 30 musicians. They all live incredibly frugally. They don't have money. They live in cottages by the sea with lots of instruments and just refuse to do anything else but make the music they want to make. And they don't go down the traditional go-get-a-big-deal path, which I eventually went down. But for years, I was quite happy in Scotland as an independent musician, just enjoying life. As a musician.
Do you think that's important? Do you think that has something to do with how things developed since then?
Yeah, I think definitely, because when you realize that music is something that you want to do with your life, and you're not in the pursuit of fame or money in regards to that music, it's really just a pursuit of a vocational life as a musician. Then when I came to realise that actually I wasn't writing folk music, I was writing something wider than that. And actually, yes, I did want to go to London and see if I could get a deal and try and get the music to as many people as possible. I still always held this, and still do hold this ethic, that it's about good music. It's about making music. And I mean, don't get me wrong, it's great to be able to pay the rent and not worry about it, but it's certainly not the priority, and all the celebrity stuff. I mean, it just comes with it if you're successful, but that's not the goal.
Well, if you get a chance to hear Eye to the Telescope, we're going to hear some of the songs in just a bit. You can hear a lot of that integrity going into these songs. They're just great tunes. And I was wondering if you could begin with the song that apparently kind of set things starting for you in England when you did it on Jules Holland, Black Horse and Cherry Tree.
Yeah, it was a crazy experience, that, because Nas, the rapper, pulled out 24 hours before the show because his father was ill. So I got a call. I was playing keyboards on tour with my friend's band, and I got this call saying, "You have to come back to London. You're on Jules Holland tomorrow night." And so I whizzed back to London, didn't have any time to think of it, and all of a sudden I was sitting there watching The Cure going, "Oh my God, I'm on Next." And it was great. I think, to be honest, it cut out about 2 years hard work in the UK, because suddenly I don't have a television myself, and I'd sort of forgotten the power of television, and so many people saw this performance, and just we got this incredible response.
Oh, that's so great. Well, you can do that, Black Horse in the Church?
I'd love to do that, yeah.
it's out, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking. Came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking. When the big black horse said, look this way, he said, hell and day, will you marry me? But I said, no. The one for me. I'm a hot hitter problem in the early hours, so stopped it dead for a beat or two. But I cut some cord and I shouldn't have done it, and it won't forgive me after all these years. So I sent it to a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Won't come back cause it's all so happy, and now I got a hole for the world to see. And it said no, 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 you're not the one for me. No, 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 you're not the one for me. No, 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 you're not the one for me. Do, 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 do.
It's one you may have already heard on the World Cafe, but not done like that. That is Black Horse and the Cherry Tree. KT Tunstall is playing live for us today. And that's not exactly how you would do it live. You don't have your pedal with you today.
No, I don't have my crazy, demented one-woman band pedal. And it's basically, it's nice to be able to do this song in lots of different ways. But one other way that I do it, the way I did it on Jules Holland, is I have a little loop pedal and I bash the hell out of my guitar and I get drum loops and I sing backing vocals and just make this sort of crazy backing track. And it's but when you're on your own, and I mean, this time last year I was playing coffee shops in Scotland, and
right,
you don't want to be Phoebe. So this little guy basically afforded me to really escape that stereotype immediately, because as soon as I start, I'm making much more noise than a girl with just a guitar.
Well, a number of people use that, and it's kind of such a neat experiment in arranging too, because you have to do things right or else you're...
Yeah, it definitely gives a solo show more depth, which is, you know, it can be quite frustrating when you're on your own and you've just got one instrument.
KT Tunstall is our guest today on The Cafe, and her debut album, which is debuting in the States here, is Eye to the Telescope. And why is it Eye to the Telescope?
Well, there's a few reasons behind it. First of all,
It's my dad is a physicist, as I said, and when we were kids, he used to take us to the local observatory at the university, and he could sort of get us up, me and my brothers up in our pajamas, and take us down to this huge telescope and show us Halley's Comet, Saturn, and just, you know, basically kind of astrological events that were taking place. And to be such a young kid and experience this kind of eye-opening evening, where you realise that you and your planet is not the only thing that exists. It definitely, you know, makes your imagination go wild. And we'd always be in his lab playing with his all the like blinking lights and knobs, and he'd sort of show us experiments with liquid nitrogen. And it's just like having a magician as a dad, because I still don't understand what he does. Also because it's actually, I plagiarised myself, it's a very old song title. A song which I don't play anymore, but I thought it was nice to kind of hark back to where I started writing. And it's the idea of the album. It's, you know, life is mysterious, and when you look up at the sky at night, it's mysterious, but you can pick out these familiar constellations, and that's what I want the songs to feel like, is just familiar points of light.
You've been really lucky because you've been able to play, I know you play with a couple of other bands. You've been able to play a whole wide variety of gigs. But sometimes when it comes to radio, and I know this is true here in the U.S., and I know it's true in England as well, you kind of, you know, you become, I guess, what would be called a BBC Two artist. Mm. And BBC Two is kind of the more kind of adult end of the radio. But I'm looking here at some of the things, people you love, and there's some article I found, you know, people like Scratch Perry can, Nick Cave. I saw you wrote a neat review of one of his concerts. You know, so you, obviously all this has to inform what you do. And how does it work into it?
I mean, it's really interesting to me because it's something that I've really had to try and make peace with, because essentially, I don't really listen to the type of music that I sit next to, if you know what I mean.
Right, right.
So,
right.
But I think if I didn't have the taste in music I have, then I would possibly write quite boring music. But because I go home and I really have a penchant for very left of center, much more experimental music than I actually write myself, and it just, you know, I just feel like a juicer, and all this stuff goes in, and all this weird fruit goes in. And then I come out with my own thing, and it definitely sort of gives it a tang, I think. Mm. I like to think it does anyway. But that's the stuff that interests me, and I think it definitely twists slightly what I do.
Definitely. I definitely hear it.
But I think, you know, as a writer, you have to just sort of really respect that what you come out with is what you write, and there's no point in fighting that, because that's what you do.
KT Tunstall is our guest. What do you want to do next?
Why don't I play a song called Other Side of the World?
Over the sea and far away, she's waiting like an iceberg, waiting to change. But she's cold inside. She wants to be like the water. All the muscles tighten in her face, buries her soul in one embrace. They're one and the same, just like water. And the fire fades away. Most of every day is full of tired excuses, but it's too hard to say. I wish it was simple, but we give up easily. You're close enough to see that you're time has come to move along. And the fire fades away. Most of every day is full of tired excuses, but it's too hard to say. I wish it was simple, but we give up easily. You're close enough to see that, yeah. Can you help me? Can you let me go? And can you still love me when you can't see me anymore? And fire fades away. Most of every day is full of tired excuses, but it's too hard to say. I wish it were simple, but we give up easily. You're close enough to see that, yeah, ooh, the other side of the world, ooh, the other side.
Other Side of the World from K.T. Tunstall, a solo version of that from Eye to the Telescope, a song that that actually kind of followed Black Horse and the Cherry Tree, getting into a lot of people's radios and everywhere else in England. So who knows?
Yeah, it did. And it's my song about how long-distance relationships are a really bad idea. Don't do
uh-oh.
It.
Uh-oh.
It's uh-oh. Really stupid.
How many of those are you in? Oh, well. I hope this one closer to home in your future, if not now.
Yeah.
Now, you are a fairly formidable guitarist, but you started out on piano. How did you change that?
Well, it was because I was basically the kind of the evil love child of Richard Marx in Chicago when I was writing songs on piano, and this was my Dynasty period. And I was just coming out with these really, and I knew it at the time as a 15-year-old. I was just going, these songs are really cheesy. And they just weren't what I imagined I should be writing. And so I just then taught, and I'd had classical training on piano, and I was finding it difficult to kind of work outside the box when I came to play piano. And then so I taught myself guitar, and as soon as I did that, and I didn't have any lessons, so it wasn't like anyone was telling me that what I was doing was right or wrong. And I think that's really important. So I've never had guitar or singing lessons. So I don't, there's no one to reprimand me or guide me. I just do my own thing on those two things. And I think that's really important.
But wait, there is a piano in the studio.
There is. And I spotted it. And there is one song on the album that I play on piano. And I haven't recorded this since the album. So it's fairly unpracticed.
Oh, okay. Which song is it?
It's Through the Dark. As I walk away, I look over my shoulder to see what I'm leaving behind. Pieces of puzzles and wishes on eyelashes fail. This is all new, and I'm feeling my way through the dark. And I used to talk with honest conviction. How I predict
telescope says. Oh, what is in store for me now? It's coming apart, and I know that it's true, 'cause I'm feeling
Through the Dark, finishing up our session with KT Tunstall today. Thanks to KT for joining us. Her debut album is called Eye to the Telescope, and you can find it at our World Cafe CD store on your web browser at worldcafe.npr.org.